He said, such knowledge, the knowledge of God, God's omniscience, is too wonderful for me. It is high, and I cannot graduate from this school. I cannot receive a degree from knowing the omniscience and the omnipresence of God.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of A Degree Beyond Our Reach from Psalm 139. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of A Degree Beyond Our Reach from Psalm 139.
I cannot attain it. God's omniscience is so superlative and exalted that no one, even the psalmist, could not begin to comprehend it. You will blow a fuse in your brain trying to think about the knowledge of God. You know, think about Jesus and what is said about Jesus in the Gospel of John. It said, many more things did he do than this, which if they could be written in a book, the whole world could not contain the volumes of the book. Let's just try to go down this road for a second. Let's just try for 1 second. Okay, let's just start. Those questions that I asked you earlier, God already knows the answer to all. He already knows that. Okay? Then think about every song from the beginning of time that has ever been written, good or bad. God knows every song that has ever been written. Think about every person that has ever lived since the time of Adam. God knows who they were. Think about any little bit of trivial information. God knows all of it. Think about the most complicated and most complex piece of information. He knows all that. And then even beyond, his knowledge is infinite. There's no end to the knowledge of God. Our knowledge is capped. Our knowledge comes to an end. There's only so much that we can know. But God knows everything. And the psalmist tried to work his way through this, and he said, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. What a mighty God we serve. We serve a powerful God. And then the psalmist moves from the omniscience of God to the omnipresence of God. And so let's back up to verse 5. In verse 5, we see here that God is behind us and in front of us. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and thou laid thy hand upon me. As I was studying it out, one of the commentators said that God is like a prison guard, right? That he walks in front of us, he walks behind us, and then he grabs our arm and walks beside us. That wherever we are going, God is all around us. That wherever we go, we take a God who is omnipresent into that situation. That God is all around us. That he walks us through the darkness. He's with us in the valleys. He's with us on the mountains. That God is with us at all times. The omnipresence of God. We see that God is everywhere. Look at verse 7. He's everywhere. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? You can't get away from God. You know, this is ridiculous. People thinking that they can get away from God. That you know, in the Bible, you know, it talked about Jonah. That God told Jonah to go to Nineveh, and Jonah got on a ship to go to Tarshish. He was going in the opposite direction. And what does the scripture say about Jonah? That he was trying to what? Flee from the presence. Are you crazy? Are you crazy? What's wrong with you, Jonah? There's no way in the world you can flee from the presence of the Lord. God is everywhere. You can't get away from him. And then the psalmist goes on to say, if you go to the highest heights of heaven or the lowest parts of the earth, that God is there. Verse 8, if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in, the word is hell, but the Hebrew word is Sheol, which can mean the lower parts of the earth. Not necessarily hell where there's eternal punishment, but the lowest parts of the earth. If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol, or the lowest parts of the earth, Lord, you are there. If I go to the uttermost part of the sea, verse 9. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Did you know that God is in the darkness as well as the light? Where you get that from, Pastor? I'm glad you asked. Look at verse 11. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. I think I can slip away, right? I can slip in the darkness. And if I slip in the darkness, then God won't see me. Oh, yeah? Yea, the darkness. Listen, the darkness can't hide you, man. What's wrong with you? The darkness can't hide you from God, but the night shines as the day. That the darkness, God make it, he can make it just like the day. And the light is both alike to him. And then God is even in the womb when a baby is being made. Wow. That he's present in the womb. So just think. Now, I don't want to be too graphic. We're here on a Sunday morning. But when the egg and the sperm come together, whether it's a married couple or unmarried couple, oh, Lord. When the egg and the sperm come together, that God is present at the union when that baby is created. Look at the next verse. For thou possess my inward parts. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. That when I was in my mother's womb, that God was present there with me. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. He says, my substance. And that word substance there is from the Hebrew word golem. And it meant, again, when the egg and the sperm came together, that my substance was not hidden from thee. When I was wrought in secret, that even when my mother and father didn't know, even when my mother and father didn't know that they were making me, God, you were there. Your presence was there. You were aware. And notice what he said. He says, thine eyes did see my substance. being yet unformed. And in thy book, all my members, my hands, my feet, my legs, my head, my whole body was written down. That's what one translation would say. One translation says all my members, all your body parts were written down. Another translation says all my days were planned out at that very moment. All of my days were planned out at that very moment when you were present with me, oh God. He said, let me read that again. Yet thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unformed, and all thy members, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuation were fashioned, as yet there was none of them. That even before, when I was just a mass, as far as flesh in the womb, that I had personhood. Ooh, ooh, ooh. I had personhood when I was just a mass of flesh, and all my members were already written down and began to shape and form and develop. You were present, oh God, the omnipresence of the Lord. So in order for you to even get into this college, you got to be able to understand the omniscience and the omnipresence of God. And nobody can do that. You couldn't even answer the 10 questions that I put up there earlier. So you know you can't get in. I can't get in. Nobody can get in. You know, not even the smartest man in the world can get in. You about the guy that was, it was guys on an airplane. And there was three parachutes, right? And so the pilot said that he had to have a parachute. And the plane was getting ready to crash and go down. And so he took the parachute and he jumped. And there were three guys left, a little boy, another man, and the smartest man in the world. And the smartest man in the world said that there's only two parachutes, and I'm the smartest man in the world, and the world can't do without me. And so he took one and he jumped. And the little boy and the man were left, and they were looking at each other. And they said, well, what are we going to do? You know, he took the last parachute. And the little boy said, don't worry, mister. The smartest man in the world just took my backpack. So, the smartest man in the world don't know. The smartest woman in the world can't comprehend the omniscience and the omnipresence of God. And so since we can't, let's be honest. Let's just, as I preached the last 2 weeks, you'll make you want to holler, just throw up both your hands. Right? Let's just throw up our hands and let's just say we can't get in. The psalmist always said it's too high. Yo, I can't attain it. So the psalmist realizing that he can't attain it, going back to verse 6, that he can't attain it, notice what he does. He says, well, there are three things I can do. I can't get in this school, but there are three things I can do. And as much as we would want and desire to want to be in this school and understand the omniscience and the omnipresence of God, we can't do it. Can't do it. So in light of that, there's three things that we can do. And the first one is, I will cherish God's thoughts for me. Look what he says, verse 17 and 18. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Notice he says that the thoughts of God are valuable and that they are vast. How precious, Lord, to know that you are thinking about me. I don't understand it. There's people in Africa, in Asia, in Europe. You know, you look on the news yesterday and you see people getting killed again, more people being killed. And yet and still, God knows all about them and his thoughts are toward them. And yet and still, he's thinking about little old me here in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Put verse 6 up there again. And yet and still, he's thinking about me in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot. Do you understand that? Do you understand how that God? I mean, man, you know, I praise God for women. You know, because, man, women, man, they can be dealing with about 3 or 4 things at one time. I mean, you know, they can be talking in a conversation and they can be handling 4 or 5 stuff. You know, most brothers, man, you know, we just got 1, maybe 2 at the most that, you know. But, you know, I mean, but ladies, I got some bad news for you. You can only go so far. You can only go so far. But just think about God. That he can do all this stuff. How many people, millions of people in the world, and yet he knows everything that's going on with every one of them. And his thoughts are precious toward them. And his thoughts are many. And you know what? Look what the psalm said. I love this. He says in verse 18, if I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. That when I go to sleep at night, you know, it's just like a mother that takes the baby, right, and rocks the baby to sleep. And so here you lay down and you go to sleep. And just think that God was thinking about you while you were awake, right? He was thinking about you. Oh man, you know, you're in your dining room, you're in your kitchen, you know, you're in your bathroom. Oh, okay, you've gone to bed and now you're in bed and now you are asleep, you are dead to the world, right? And then all of a sudden you, God is still with me. He's still, his thoughts are still on. Is he gonna spend time with me this morning? Is he just going to go? Yeah, I got so many things I want to share with him. I got some good things I want to share. Are you going to spend time with me? His thoughts are innumerable toward us. Man, we can't attain the knowledge of God's omnipresence, his omniscience, but we can certainly be thankful for the thoughts that he has toward us. And then the second thing the psalmist said that he will, he said, I will watch the company that I keep. Oh, my goodness. Now, look. What is he basing this on? He's basing it on the omniscience and the omnipresence of God. And realizing that God is omniscient and omnipresent, the psalmist says, I'm going to watch the company that I keep. I'm going to watch where I go. I'm going to watch who I hang out with. Look at verse 19. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked. O God, depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thy enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee, and I am not grieved with those that rise up against thee. I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them as enemies. Wow. The psalmist says, look, he says, I'm going to watch the company that I'll keep. If God is who he says he is, then I need to watch out who I hang around with. My. Yeah, I've said from this pulpit on many occasions before, you know, you show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. You show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. And you, God is aware of who you're hanging out with, where you're going, and what you're doing. And so I'm going to watch. I'm going to do the best that I can to watch. You know, we teach the kids the song, right? Be careful, little feet, where you go. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little hands, what you do. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Be careful where you go. The psalmist said, I will watch who I hang out with. And then finally, he says that I will live and examine life. Wow, man, this psalm is so powerful. Because he took the first 16 verses to talk about the omniscience and the omnipresence of God, and now he's talking about, this is what I can't get into understanding university of God's omnipresence and omniscience. I can't get into that university, but there's something that I can do. Here's three things that I can do. And the last thing that he says, I will live and examine life. Verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. If you look at your notes, you'll see, first of all, there's the plea for the examination. Search me, O God. God, search my life. Lord, if I go back and read at the beginning of this psalm, you said in verse 1, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Search me, O God, and know my heart, know my motives. Try me and know my thoughts. You know, Lord, what am I thinking? The plea of the examination. Search me, O God. The person of the examination, me. It's not my mother, not my father. But it's me, oh Lord. Lord, you need to speak to so-and-so. You know they're not acting right. Lord, you need to deal with so-and-so. You know they're not acting right. No. It's not my mother, not my father, not my enemy. It's me standing in the need of this examination. The place of the examination. Know my heart. That's your motives. And try me. Know my thoughts. That's what you think. And see if there be any wicked way in me. That's the way that you're traveling. You know, Lord, know it. Know it. And what's the point of the examination? Is that the Lord would lead me in the way everlasting. Lead me in the way that leads to life. You know, in the book of Deuteronomy, Moses told the people, I set before you today life and death. Choose life. Choose life. And throughout the day, we make decisions. And the decisions and choices that we make are life and death decisions. They either bring life or they bring death. And so I close with this thought. In light of God's omniscience and his omnipresence, are you living an examined life? Do you examine your life? Or do you just go footloose and fancy free, no accountability, no coming before God, confessing your sins, asking God to forgive you, asking God to show you where you're wrong, asking God to lead you in the right way? Is your life unexamined? The psalmist said that he would live an examined life. What about you? What about you?
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Bumping Heads with Other Saints from Psalm 23. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, A Degree Beyond Our Reach, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request A Degree Beyond Our Reach. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request a degree beyond our reach. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.